You ready for Basecamp Fitness's best deal yet? 7 days for $7. That's right, 7 days for $7. It's time to double down on your fitness goals and snag this offer before it's gone. Call or text Basecamp Fitness at 913-232-9770 or go to basecampfitness.com to learn more.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It's Wednesday, hump day, January 19th, 2022. Today we'll talk to Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. He'll be in studio with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Greg Gurley will be on the show at 9:05, and then Mike DePasquale at 9:30. We'll also get our weather from Jeff Penner at the end of the 7 o'clock hour and get an updated forecast for Sunday night at Arrowhead. So we got that going for us. And last night, a wild night in college basketball, especially for the local schools. And I think this topic came up once or twice in the football season. But I ask you again this basketball season, when's the next time this will happen? Kansas wins, Kansas State wins, and Missouri wins all on the same night. Unbelievable. And how about this, which is even more impressive? Kansas, Kansas State, and Missouri all win on the road on the same night. Kansas beats Oklahoma in Norman 67-64. Kansas State, with the most impressive victory of the three, they win at number 23, Texas, 66-65. You heard some highlights there of both of those games. And then Missouri continues to befuddle their fan base. And now Ole Miss is terrible too, but Mizzou never wins on the road. They really don't win too many places too often, but they won at Ole Miss 78-53 in blowout fashion. And what's even crazier, I was talking to somebody about this last night. If they wouldn't have blown the game against Texas A&M, a game that they should have won, and they blew it over the weekend, they controlled most of that game, they'd be 3-2 in the conference, which I, you know, a lot of that schedule driven. But I don't know, at the beginning of the conference season, if I thought they would win two or three games in the entire SEC schedule. But they're 2-3, which is, I mean, it ain't good, but it's not god-awful like I thought it would be. And so they deserve credit, certainly, for going on the road and winning 78-53 over, Ole Miss is 1-4 in the SEC now. And so at least we know Missouri is not the worst team in the SEC, which I think most people would have guessed. Now it could play out that way, but for right now they're not. They got a couple of conference wins. And look, Kansas State, they got off to an abysmal start. Now, they had to battle some COVID issues both on their roster and on their coaching staff, so that certainly had an effect on their 0-4 start. And let's be honest, after they were 0-4 and they had Texas Tech and Texas coming up, you think there was anyone that thought that they were going to be 0-6?
Certainly wasn't hard to see that.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that was a bad bet. And they have quickly, now they still have work to do, but they have quickly turned their season around with back-to-back victories over ranked teams. And they go to Texas and beat the Longhorns 66-65. And now they are 2-4. But that's the best feeling 2-4 I bet K-State's ever had, because they were 0-4 and they think, we're buried. What the hell are we going to do now? We've got a couple of really tough games coming up against a hot Texas Tech team, a talented Texas team on the road. They win both of those games, and now they feel like they can hang with anyone. And so maybe that puts a little bit different spin, Nate, on your beloved Sunflower Showdown that's coming up.
Heck yeah, it does. For sure. It's going to be a heck of a game.
Now, maybe K-State ain't going to be those pushovers that you wanted them to be on Saturday.
Well,
they could be.
Sunflower Showdown.
I think I was saying...
But you want them to be a pushover.
Well, I'd love for them to be a pushover,
right.
But they're not,
them,
they're not going to be. No.
Right. You'd like them to be.
I don't expect them to be. No. Hey, look, even in those four losses they had, they played close games, right? Like while they were battling COVID, when they were shorthanded, they still... They lost by Oklahoma to 2. You know, the first time around against Texas was the only game in their first four losses that wasn't like a one-possession game. So... They're not going to be a pushover for many people this year.
Kansas at Kansas State, Saturday, 3 o'clock.
Big time. Big game. Good game.
Say more things about it. Big game, good game.
Well,
all right, Sunflower Showdown.
I mean, as I said, I mean, like, going back to the start of league play, talking with Mike DeCourcy, he had K-State as one of his first four out. So, like, right there on the bubble, which meant that their conference play was going to be really big. And obviously, Mike DeCourcy is not the gospel on who's going to get in and who's not. But we've talked to him for years and years and years. He's been involved with the selection committee process.
Jake says he's the gospel.
Well, he is.
The gospel, according to Mike.
There you go. He knows a thing or two. So, you know, he's pretty close on those things. So the point being is that, you know, K-State was right there. And they were going to need to have a decent conference and a chance to rack up a bunch of top 50 wins by winning games in this league. But then they start 0-4. They had the COVID issues that you mentioned. And you wondered, by the way, one thing we haven't mentioned, you mentioned Missy Heidrick, you know, doing a great job on the show on Friday on the fast break. K-State's 2-0 since Missy came on the show.
Right.
Does anybody think that's a coincidence? You know, I mean, she's obviously brought...
You went out of your way already to fire Jay, and so...
Oh, I did, yeah. I texted Jay immediately.
Play that on the air.
Jay will be on the show tomorrow.
Wow.
There you go.
That didn't stick, did it?
Well, tomorrow's Thursday, so...
Right. And we're doing the Border Patrol Fast Break on a Thursday this year.
We're canceling basketball on Friday.
There's no basketball on Friday. It's a red Friday for the Bills and Chiefs.
Divisional playoffs call for
that makes sense.
Wiping the slate clean of everything but football.
So you Stan know. Weber, Daron Cherry, and Tim Grenhardt on Friday.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. These aren't really desperate times, but this is, you know.
Yeah, it's
this is for the Super Bowl, right?
It's real.
I mean,
it's a big game.
Yeah.
That's all anybody wants to talk about, and that's all I can talk about, and it's not that I'm nervous because I think they're going to lose, but I'm nervous to where I'm making myself nauseous about it because I just keep thinking about this game. So I'm sorry. That's it.
You shouldn't make yourself nauseous.
I just hate Buffalo fans right now and all the crap on social media.
Stay off it.
I watched some highlights of, I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, no. Talking hoops now. This is Wednesday.
Yeah. I'm still pissed off about the 90s playoff losses. That's all. I'm bitter. So moving forward.
I tried to fire Jay, but that didn't last.
Right.
That didn't work.
Damn, right.
Darn it. Ah, for God. Don. Anyway, so Jay's under pressure because they're 2-0 with Missy.
Pressure!
Doing the fast break.
They come up with a big win on Saturday over the Jayhawks. And
that'll be big for
it's
Jay.
It's just the Heidrick.
Yeah.
Combo.
You a little bit more nervous? You were dismissive of Kansas State. Now the K-State's taking care of back-to-back ranked teams. A little bit more nervous about that trip to Manhattan on Saturday?
How could you not be? I mean, that's a big win last night for the Wildcats.
There's many ways you could not be because you're belligerent about it. So that's why I asked you if you...
I thought you know, you asked... We were talking about it yesterday. I kind of dismissed him a little bit.
A lot.
Okay, or a lot.
Right.
You know,
but what about
perception.
Now? And if you still feel the same way, don't let one game change your opinion. Are you?
No, I mean, I think it's the combo of the two games. They put together two really good wins.
Okay, so you say, that's maybe one game's a fluke. That's not a fluke, back-to-back.
Look, I put the same amount of win, you know, I guess value into that win against Texas Tech as I did that loss again. That's a bad loss to TCU that they had leading up to that, you know? So it's like, that's, you know, what is this team? And I think they kind of took a step in the right direction to say this is what we are. We just went to Texas and beat the Longhorns on the road.
Are you happy with the way Kansas played against Oklahoma?
Yeah,
that was a win that satisfy you?
You know, that's a good win down in Oklahoma. Some big threes by guys that, you know, with some big huevos, some big clutch shots. So,
how do you feel about the way Kansas played against Oklahoma?
I think that's a quintessential Bill Self road win in the Big 12, where when you play league play, the games usually get ugly because the other team knows exactly what you're trying to do, so things don't come easy.
Do you think Oklahoma's good?
I think they're good. I think they're like everybody else in the Big 12. You know, I mean, I feel like you're just going to see a whole lot of games like that. That, like the K-State Texas game, like the KU-Oklahoma game, that come down to one possession or, you know, come down to a handful of possessions down the stretch. And whichever team can execute the best and hit their shots at the end of the game is going to win. And Bill Self has a remarkable ability of having his team win that game a lot more often than they lose it, right? And Mike DeCourcy's talked a lot about that because some of the analytics folks think that comes down to luck when it's, oh, it's just come down to one shot, you know, whoever makes it.
Oklahoma lost to TCU too, Jake.
Maybe hey, TCU's only got one loss
so far. Yeah, TCU's 2-1.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe they're
better than I'm giving them credit for. Probably.
Right now, last place in the conference, a three-way tie, Iowa State, Oklahoma, and Kansas State.
Those are all good teams, as we've seen.
Right? The gauntlet of conference, man.
So,
no nights off.
Some of my KU buddies texting through the course of the game. We look terrible. This is ugly. All that stuff.
Well, you have the most hard-to-please.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Complaining.
Yes.
Spoiled. What yes. are the words? Do they ever text you and say, man, are we good? Man, do we look good? This
no.
is a heck of a coach. What an effort by these kids out there tonight.
Glad
do you ever get that?
I
mean, is it always, we only won by 10. We could have won by 20.
Once the game's over, a couple of them will be like, hey, good win. Always tough to win on the road.
Do I know any of these guys?
Good win. I don't think so.
The old frat brothers yeah. of your are they? I mean, what are you laughing?
Elephant walkers
choking up for you were in a fraternity, and I'm asking if it's
your
yes.
Because
I know
boys.
Some of your friends, and I don't know them, so maybe I feel like you
donut boys.
I feel like what he does is he likes to keep separate his old fraternity brothers from anyone that he really associates with now.
Well,
because we could find out some things that he did and things that you know. He doesn't want anybody knowing
that he does that because they sound like they're embarrassing people.
When it comes to when it comes to sports,
quite judgmental over there.
When it comes to sports, I mean, he is
judgmental
I think they reflect a lot of KU fans. They're spoiled,
but you paint them in a negative light.
Yeah, I
when
know
you
a
talk,
lot of friends
you know,
that are KU fans. They're not bitching about that win to me last night. I mean,
like I said,
honestly,
do you do this too? Though,
honestly,
be
like,
honest. Are you on there complaining too?
No.
My KU fan friends, they're happy with the road win, but honestly, like everybody I know is worried about this Chiefs game. I mean, the discussion along ours is like, good win, but what about Sunday? What are we going to think here? I mean,
preoccupied with the Chiefs
alumni.
And basketball right now. They just can't lock into it.
Yeah.
I can identify with that. I mean, it's not, you know, hey, I shouldn't say that. Missouri's coming off a blowout victory on the road.
That's right, man. Embrace
but still, that. I'm preoccupied. Yes.
That's
yeah.
the kind of, that's the dialogue that's going on with my. I mean, I think that they're like, whoo, we got away with, you know,
when
good
I,
road win.
When I lay in bed, I think about this Chiefs and Bills game. It's ridiculous. So. It's an unbelievable matchup. That can't even stick with basketball.
It is a great matchup.
Basketball. I'm just telling you where, you know, what's going on. Like, most people I know think that it's a good road win in Kansas, you know.
Like I said, after the game was over, the texts were a lot of, hey, good win, tough to play on the road, but through the course of the game, it's ugly. And it is ugly. I mean, that's kind of the essence of conference basketball a lot of times. It doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
The other team, and they were talking about this a lot, I thought they did a really good job for him, for Priscilla during the broadcast, of talking about how Porter Mosier's teams played tremendous scouting report defense. And I will say that's one thing Bruce Weber's teams do at K-State.
Well, Stan Weber's team, too. He loves them.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's right.
That's his team.
That's right.
You know the way?
They play tremendous scouting report defense. A lot of teams in this conference do. And so they know your sets. You know, you don't run a unique play. It's not like football where, okay, we're coming up with an entirely different game plan, and we got 60 plays that we've got ready to go.
They're going
to
be well-coached, and they're going to be prepared.
But in basketball, you kind of you run your offense. And then every once in a while, coming out of a timeout, you run a play. Or you change what you run on your offense a little bit. But you can only do that a handful of times in the game. And I think a lot of times it's down at the end of the game when you really need a basket. And so through the course of the game, when the other team knows everything you run, and they anticipate it, and they know all your strengths. And they like last night, they took Ochai Agbaje out of the game. Now, part of that was he suffered a wrist injury that worries me. It's on his left hand, so hopefully it's not too big of a deal. But he didn't look comfortable with that most of the game. But also, every time he started to turn the corner, there were 2-3 Oklahoma players on him, forcing him to give up the basketball. And that's what happened. I mean, Oklahoma's like, look, Ochai Agbaje's not going to beat us. And for most of the game, they were successful. At the end of the game, they couldn't stop him. So those things, it is kind of ugly. And it is frustrating when you usually see your team, KU's usually a really good scoring team. They get out transition and they can fill it up. Last night, that game, it wasn't going like that. So yeah, when you're a spoiled fan, you watch and go, man, we don't look so good tonight. But that's just, to me, like you watch enough conference play over the years, you ought to be used to that and say, well, that's just how it is. I mean, it's not going to be pretty.
Okay, before we break, I have a good trivia question for you to see if either one of you guys can guess it. And this is in all games, not just conference games. Who's the Big 12's leading rebounder?
No, I don't know.
You got to guess something.
David McCormick.
That's a good guess.
Don't think it's David McCormick.
Well, he's number 6.
Okay.
So it's a good guess. He guessed someone in the top 10.
Yeah.
You won't even guess anybody. Guess someone.
Mark Smith.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
Wow.
Now, why'd you guess that?
Because he's a Mizzou transfer. I thought that might be...
8.2 rebounds per game. Did you see what he did last night?
Well, I saw he had a good game offensively, 22 points.
Right.
8 rebounds to go with it.
Yeah. Led the team 33 minutes, but he led the team with 22 points. He led the team with 8 rebounds.
Pretty good game.
Well, yeah, they went on the road at Texas, and he led the team in points and rebounds, and he's the Big 12's leading rebounder.
6'4", too.
That is not what I would have guessed for him at any point in the season. I'm very happy for him. But he leads the team in rebounds, and he led the team in points and rebounds in a road win over Texas. And so people were, criticizing me, why do you keep bringing up Mark Smith? Well, that's a good story. I mean, he went from Mizzou to K-State, and look what he's doing now.
Yeah.
He's leading the effing league in rebounds, and he just put up 22-8 in a road win against Texas. Why wouldn't you? How do you talk about Kansas State and this win without bringing up Mark Smith? So, I mean, you credit them for bringing him in. Because he's overproducing, I think, based on what the expectations were. So, Mark Smith continues to play very well for Kansas State. And it's all right. It was on a night. Well, it's not really all right. But it's on a night that Mizzou beat Ole Miss 78-53. So, for one day, all the fan bases of the three schools that we talk about can be very happy and very pleased that their teams won on the road in the conference. When's that going to happen again this year?
I don't know. I'll have to look at the schedule.
It's not. I'm going to tell you it will not happen again where all three teams win on the road again on the same night.
Yeah, winning on the road all at the same time.
Right.
There's probably not even that many opportunities to do that.
Hey, that's a unicorn, you know? So that was a hell of a night. Really, Jake? You know?
I believe in you.
It's not going to be this weekend because K-State plays at home against KU. That can't happen.
It may, we may not see them all win. Win on the same day, maybe.
Right.
But I'd be willing to bet some coin that they won't all win all on the road on the same night again. So enjoy that. Hell of a night for Kansas, Kansas State, and Mizzou. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
It's No Hangovers May with Green Light Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their four KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. So, Jake, I thought of you when I woke up from my nap and I was...
Oh, boy.
Lying in bed.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that.
It's not up to you to feel any way about it. It just happened, and that's, you know...
Okay.
However you feel doesn't change it.
No, it doesn't.
You know, it just is.
I get my feelings.
What's your feeling?
Interesting, and I guess I should let you finish.
I was woken up from a nice nap because this is a good thing. You know how you can get alerts on your phone, like if there's an Amber Alert or something like that, and it was
flooding.
You know, and I was taking a good nap, and my phone starts buzzing, and so I have it hooked up to my watch. And so when my phone's buzzing, then my watch starts buzzing. And so even if my phone's not right by me, it'll wake me up. And I woke up to an emergency alert. And I looked at it and I said, "Am I dreaming? Is this real? Am I up?" And I like slapped myself in the face. And what the hell's going on here? So did you guys see... have you heard about this puzzling message that was sent out as an alert to people in Missouri yesterday afternoon?
No,
uh-uh. Have not.
And so I'm looking at the article that was written about it. Missourians received a puzzling message on their phones Tuesday afternoon around 4:52 p.m. Cell phones buzzed with an automatic alert. And this is why I thought of Jake. This is what it read. Here, I have it here. I screenshotted it, and so I saved it. Read this alert, Nate and Jake. Read it out loud and tell me what this says.
Gotham City Mo, purple/green, 1978 Dodge 3700 GT Mo. UKIDME.
There's a Gotham City, Missouri?
Well, Gotham City, and look what the car is, though. It's the car that the Joker's, I think, henchman drove in Batman.
Dodge, a purple Dodge?
You kid me.
Yeah, and look at the license, but you kid me. The Joker.
Right.
And so I'm looking at it, I go, what the...
I'm baffled.
I was
green 78 Dodge.
I was absolutely baffled. And I thought of Jake. I go, Jake must be so excited right now. This is indicating that, I mean, the Joker's on the loose. He's real. And there's a Gotham City. And what the F is going on here? Right? I mean, did that catch you right away when you saw that? Or did you had to think about it for
a
minute?
It's gotta be a hoax.
Well, of course, yes. And so the alert read, Gotham City, Missouri, purple-green, awesome. 1978, Dodge 3700 GT, with the license plate number, you kid me. And according to this article, that's the car driven by the Joker's goons in the 1989 Batman film. Fortunately, Batman was not needed because minutes after the alert was sent, state police sent word that the alert was a test message accidentally sent across the state. So, but just for a moment there, and see, as you know, Missouri Highway Patrol just sent a tweet out. That was meant to be a test message. There was no alert. We are not looking for the Joker from Gotham City in his green and purple car. But as you can see, for a few minutes there, I'm like, I've seen it. I mean, look, what's going on in our world now, you can't. I mean, really?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like...
I can see why you woke up and be like...
You have a seat like... What? And for sure, I go, does Jake know about this? Is this happening? Like, what are we... I don't know. That would have been the car, Jake, if you, you know. Huh. Is this thing on its way to Kansas City? Like, what's happening? So
seems like they'd be easy to spot.
Right. Well, you know, especially with that information.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone else experienced that just before 5 o'clock, an alert that the Joker was on the loose. And, like, that's an official alert. Like, what are you going to, you know?
Yeah, it's real.
Like, what are you going to do? And I'm waiting. I go, there's got to be a follow-up. There's got to be something. Something's happening somewhere. So, Jake, you missed out on that tremendous amount of excitement and late in the afternoon yesterday. So, thankfully.
All over the internet.
Right.
I need to move to Missouri.
But that's what... there's a Gotham City?
Right. What? Gotham City, Mo?
Oh. I was trying to... I was trying to process that. I go, what am I missing here? What is happening?
It's right down there by the boot heel.
I don't understand this. So, that's all.
So that makes... I saw a picture, like, on Twitter today, like, that said it from, like, beautiful Missouri, mm-hmm. and it said Gotham City, Missouri, and it was pictures of famous landmarks around the world that were clearly not in Missouri.
Right.
I was like, what is...
Everyone's having fun with that now. So.
Now I get it.
So now if you're ever wondering where Gotham City really was, it's in Missouri.
Yep.
So that's what that's where Batman lives. And so we're all very excited about that. We'll break back after this on WHB. Here's a couple of interesting notes from the NFL yesterday. NFL on CBS and their Twitter account was pumping out some very good information. If you follow NFL writer Jeff Kerr from CBS, he's a good follow. He always has some good numbers, good stats. Highest passer rating in NFL playoff history. This according to CBS Sports and Jeff Kerr. So, I'll believe him. Who's number one?
Is this cumulative or just a single game?
Highest passer rating, I think, just overall.
Joe Montana.
Tom Brady.
You know, Brady's had some bad performances in the playoffs.
I guess there's so many playoff games for him. That...
Right. It's an easy guess.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. Number two is Bart Starr. Number three is Kurt Warner. Who's number four?
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Wow.
You looked up the tweet, didn't you?
No.
Cheater.
Educated guess.
Number five is Matt Ryan, so I don't... Whatever.
Been to Super Bowl.
And Jeff Kerr asks, is Mahomes Allen the new Brady Manning? We talk about this every year. Who is going to be the number one rival? And I'm not talking about, you know, just in the division. In the postseason, because that's what really matters. Who will be the worthy rival in the AFC? Can't really be someone from the NFC because it's so difficult. And look, we've been waiting, you know, because we think the two best quarterbacks are Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. And even though they've been scheduled to play each other twice, they still haven't matched up, right? So that's real difficult. But when you look at the teams that they play for, their coaches, supporting cast, their age, their success so far, maybe it is Josh Allen.
Yeah.
For a while, were they okay? Is it going to be Lamar Jackson?
Deshaun Watson.
Is it going to be... Well, it's not going to be him, Jake.
No, I'm saying we were...
Right, but I'm just...
No, like, yeah, the first time when they were up 20, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
No.
Right. Maybe
it's... No, it's not going to be that.
maybe Joe Burrow. Who knows? What if they face off in the championship game, and that's the beginning of several postseason matchups? I mean, it could still be Justin Herbert if they get their act together.
Maybe.
And that would, boy, that would really add to it.
And I believe it.
If there were button heads in the... I see what you did there.
Yep.
There are button heads in the regular season, and then they have some epic... And that's really... hey, I'm happy that it was the Steelers and the Chiefs kicked their ass. But if you're a football fan that doesn't root for the Chiefs and doesn't root for the Chargers, you got robbed of that possible first-round matchup, right? Like, what would have been better for the average football fan? To watch what the Chiefs did to the Steelers or to watch another showdown between Mahomes and Herbert? That would have been better football.
Of course.
You know, I'm fine with the way things worked out, to be honest with you, but just, hey, that would have been fun. And so I thought that was interesting, but maybe it's Josh Allen. You know, they've already faced off once in the AFC Championship game. Now, the next year, they face off in the divisional playoffs. And, you know, I know that Twitter is not a proper representation of a whole fan base, but good God, do Bills fans hate Mahomes and hate the Chiefs. And, of course, they kept him from the Super Bowl last year. But can you imagine the level of hatred and bitterness if Mahomes and the Chiefs end their season back-to-back years deep in the playoffs, championship game and then divisional round? And they could certainly say, well, we were the second-best team in the conference. We just couldn't get over that Buffalo hump. And you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the Chiefs in the 90s a couple of times. They got to the championship game, and who did they lose to? Buffalo. They lost to them another time in the divisional round. There were a couple of times there where we thought, you know what? Damn it, we were the second-best team in the AFC, couldn't get over that Buffalo hump. And then these jerk-offs go to the Super Bowl. They don't even win it. Let a team go that could win it. At least the Chiefs have won one, you know. But I remember how furious I just couldn't. I just, you know, it made me despise Buffalo because they stole my soul a couple times in the postseason. And that's what's on the verge of happening to Buffalo all these years later. Again, revenge being a dish best served cold. But maybe that's the big AFC playoff rivalry that will play out over the next decade. So far, so good. And you have to have luck. You have to have the matchups, you know. And here they are.
I think they're the two best teams. Most of us think they're the two best teams in the AFC this year, for sure.
And you look at the stability. And that coach in Buffalo, McDermott's not going anywhere.
Right.
He's good.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
Real good. We were talking about the best coaches, and we didn't really mention him because they haven't. Look, they've got to the championship game, but that's a damn fine coach.
Yeah.
And they know what they're doing when assembling a roster, and so you have to believe that they're going to be perennial playoff contenders as long as Josh Allen's healthy.
That's the big key there, because I'm going to be interested to see how long Josh Allen can do what he's doing, because such a big part of his game is running, and he runs more like Cam Newton than he does Lamar Jackson. In terms of he hits people, he takes hits.
He's a hoss.
And I think you can do that for several years, but I don't think you can do it for 15 years, you know? The way, like, Brady and Manning were going at each other for, gosh, it had to have been 15 years, right? And Brady's still going.
But over the course of time, he changes a little bit.
Yeah, maybe he evolves. You know. That's true. But that's why I'm saying it's going to be interesting to see if he can keep it up or if he has to change the way he plays a little bit. And if he does, can he still be? Because we've already seen him grow and mature as a player and get better at certain things. So.
Because Mahomes, this was his career high in rushing. He almost ran for 400 yards this year. But don't you think he ran smarter this year than he has the past years?
I don't remember
him
taking very many big hits this year.
Weren't you impressed with that, Jake, the way he handled himself, running out of bounds or sliding and not putting himself in harm's way?
Oh, he was amazing.
Terrific.
I got to find that tweet. Sam McDowell had a phenomenal tweet. I think he sent it out Monday. Like, the rushing yards, Kyler Murray's compared to, like, Kyler Murray only had like 40 or 50 more yards rushing than Mahomes did on 22 more attempts, which blew my mind.
Again, when you hear all these national people and everyone else talking about this game, they very rarely talk about what Mahomes does with his legs and how smart of a runner he is. And the guy almost had 400 yards rushing, and it's such an underrated weapon. It's such an underrated weapon because he's so good and so smart of when he runs the football and how he takes care of himself running the football. So
here it is. Patrick Mahomes rushed for 42 fewer yards than Kyler Murray this year on 22 fewer carries. When I read that,
blew your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch a lot of the Cardinals this year, but I watched More than I probably ever had before.
You were like, wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
It's a factor, and people don't talk about it, but you could still be an effective runner and not be reckless.
I mean, that's why the Cardinals lost on Monday night. The Rams figured out a way to keep Kyler Murray in the pocket. They bottled him up, and, you know, that guy's... Look, his height is detrimental to him when he's a pocket passer. I mean, you saw him
pocket passer, put him in your pocket.
Little guy, come here. No, you saw him throw two bad interceptions because of not very good vision. One was off a running back's helmet.
Yeah, well. But I thought that was interesting, and maybe we're seeing the first couple of chapters of a great playoff rivalry that we'll enjoy over the next decade or so. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thanks for joining us. Okay, a couple of the other interesting tidbits that NFL on CBS tweeted out yesterday that I thought were interesting. One of them I don't think really has any bearing on the game on Saturday between the Bengals and the Titans, but I think one does. Did you know the Bengals have never won a playoff game on the road in franchise history? They are 0-7. And look, you can't damn them for the sins of other teams, and so they haven't had the opportunity. This squad with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and everyone else. But the Bengals have never won a playoff game on the road, 0-7, in franchise history. That will not have any type of impact. But look, they haven't done it before. It's a young team, so whatever. Here's one that I do think is interesting. Mike Vrabel's Titans have never lost with at least 8 days between games during his tenure. 8-0. When there's been at least 8 days to prepare for a team, Vrabel and the Titans are 8-0. Now that's powerful. That says something. And I retweeted that, and some smart-ass Chiefs fan responded, "Well, they lost week one, didn't they?" And so, yes, that qualifies as more than 8 days, but I think they're talking about, you know, those are two different teams, but like the same team, and then a bunch of Titans fans got mad and started posting the score of when they beat the Chiefs, which was irrelevant to this conversation. But
that's kind of funny, though.
Does that make you change your opinion at all about that game, knowing the success that the Titans have had under Mike Vrabel with at least 8 days to prepare?
Well, I think it probably is a good indication that he's... Another good indication what a good coach he is, and more time to prepare. Just like Andy Reid coming off a bye week, everybody always uses that stat.
It's a thing.
But I think Andy Reid's good enough to beat Mike Vrabel, even if he has an extra day to get ready.
Right. But this is against the Bengals.
Yeah.
You think that changes your view of this game on Saturday?
A little bit.
I don't think it does. I think you're saying that just to... You seem dismissive of this.
It's significant.
I was like, huh? Because I'm the one, I keep dismissing the Titans. Like, they're going to make me look stupid, aren't they?
I think it's a great stat. Makes me feel better about the Titans winning.
Oh, you're on the Titans, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Well, on that note, we'll break then. Back into this on WHB. Thank you very much for watching us on 38 The Spot. We're going to have some post-game from Konzo Martin and Bruce Weber and Bill Self. Then we'll hear from Jeff Penner. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com will be in studio. Greg Gurley will be on the show to talk about Kansas beating Oklahoma last night. And then Mike's Got This. We'll have the picks from Mike DePasquale. His beloved Chiefs and Bills square off. Who will he pick? Hell, I don't know. That's why he's going to be on the show at 9:30. All that and more coming up between now and 10 o'clock on Sports Radio 810 WHB.